You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, May 4, 2026. Closer to the heart, Shell's ARC Resources deal affirms focus on low-carbon LNG, liquids growth. Published by Housley Carr. Shell's recently announced agreement to acquire Western Canadian E&P ARC Resources Limited for $22 billion Canadian, $16.4 billion US dollars, affirms the global energy giant's new strategic focus, enhances the prospects for Phase 2 of the LNG Canada megaproject, and supports the view that the Montney Shale may be replacing the Permian as the epicenter of oil and gas M&A. In today's RBN blog, we discuss the ARC Resources deal, Shell's largest in 11 years, and what it means for Shell, Western Canada, and the Asia-Pacific LNG market. At its Capital Markets Day, CMD, in June 2023, Shell's then new CEO, Wael Sawan, said that while the London-based company would maintain its effort to ratchet down carbon emissions, it would be pivoting from its years-old strategy of reducing liquids production and ramping up renewables. Shell's new focus, he said, would be on capital discipline, divesting low-margin assets, expanding its integrated gas business, natural gas production and LNG exports, and maintaining its crude oil and NGL output. The theme? Delivering more value with less emissions. At Shell's next CMD in March 2025, Sawan said the new strategy was working, noting that supplying LNG will be the biggest contribution we will make to the energy transition over the next decade, and we are positioning our portfolio to match this. He added that continued investment in oil will be needed to offset the natural decline rates of oil fields. Shell announced April 27 that it had reached a definitive agreement to acquire ARC Resources of Calgary, Alberta, which is the largest pure-play producer in the Montney Shale, the largest condensate producer, and third-largest natural gas producer in Canada. The deal is expected to close in H2 2026, subject to ARC shareholder, court and regulatory approvals. In a presentation the following day, Sawan said, "As we outlined at our Capital Markets Day, where we see value, we will take the opportunity to add high-margin, low-cost and lower-carbon intensity production to our portfolio in areas where we have competitive advantages." ARC delivers exactly that, he said, noting that ARC has a substantial portfolio of Tier 1 undeveloped inventory of liquids-rich gas complementary to Shell's Montney assets. ARC Resources has about 1.5 million acres in the Montney and just under 420,000 BOE per day of production there in Q1 2026, or 4x what Shell produces at its 440,000 acres in the play. Three-fifths of ARC's output is in the form of natural gas, while the other 40% is crude oil, condensate, as Canadians refer to natural gasoline, and other, lighter NGLs like ethane, propane and butanes. The company also owns about 2 BCF per day of gas processing capacity and 200,000 barrels per day of liquids handling capacity in the Montney. We'll get to the gas side of things, including the LNG Canada connection, in a moment. First, we should note the significance of ARC Resources' liquids production, which accounts for about 70% of its revenue, and, as we just said, only 40% of its output, and more specifically, its condensate slash natural gasoline. As we discussed recently in our five-part, so far, Turn Me Loose blog series, Western Canadian crude oil production continues to hit all-time highs and is expected to continue growing into the 2030s. Almost all the growth is occurring in the Alberta oil sands, and the bitumen that is not upgraded into synthetic crude oil needs to be diluted with vast amounts of diluent, condensate slash natural gasoline, so it can flow through pipelines or be loaded into rail tank cars. Alberta's increasing need for diluent gives the liquid side of ARC Resources production an unusually high significance and value. As Shell Sawan put it during the company's April 28 presentation, "Don't look at this as the acquisition of an E&P with a predominantly gas portfolio. Look at it as a liquid-rich addition to Shell with an upside of LNG that we are uniquely positioned to be able to unlock." In its Q1 2026 earnings announcement on April 29, ARC said it expects to produce an average of about 1.5 BCF per day this year, mostly from its Kakwa, Dawson and Sunrise production areas, the last of which is a dry gas play with direct connectivity to the LNG Canada export terminal in Kitimat, BC, via the Coastal GasLink pipeline, and a full-cycle break-even cost of between $1.10 and $1.50 per 1,000 cubic feet. Sunrise also adjoins Shell's Groundbirch production area, another supplier to LNG Canada. ARC Resources' goal, which aligns with Shell's, has been to increase the portion of its Montney gas production priced to international markets, rather than to AECO, the Henry Hub of Western Canada. Since last year, ARC has been under contract to provide 150 million cubic feet per day to LNG Canada at pricing premium to AECO, and starting in 2026-27 it will be providing 140 million cubic feet per day to Cheniere Energy's Corpus Christi LNG Stage 3 at prices based on the Japan-Korea Marker, JKM, the LNG benchmark for deliveries to Northeast Asia. And there's more. Starting in late 2028, ARC is under contract to provide 200 million cubic feet per day to an affiliate of ExxonMobil at unspecified international pricing via the Cedar LNG export terminal now under construction near LNG Canada in Kitimat. And in 2029, ARC will begin supplying 140 million cubic feet per day to Cheniere's Sabine Pass LNG Stage V project at TTF pricing, TTF being Tidal Transfer Facility, the European benchmark. Which brings us to LNG Canada, a two-train, 14 million tons per annum, 1.84 BCF per day, export terminal that came online last year. Shell holds a 40% ownership interest in the facility and operates it. The other owners are Petronas, 25%, PetroChina, 15%, Mitsubishi Corporation, 15%, and Korean Gas Corporation, KOGAS, 5%. Sawan said during the company's presentation that Shell is very pleased with Phase 1 of LNG Canada, and has growing confidence that the Canadian and BC provincial governments would be supportive of an expansion project. That, he said, has raised the likelihood that Shell and its project partners will advance to a final investment decision, FID, on Phase 2 in late 2026. Shell sees the combination of Western Canadian gas production and LNG Canada as being particularly favored in the current geopolitical environment. As Sawan put it, not all LNG is born equal. Canadian LNG is, of course, advantaged by the AECO-indexed gas, which we believe will continue to sell at a discount to Henry Hub for a long period of time, given the amount of LNG being developed in the US and the demands from a power perspective for AI growth. Also, he said more and more LNG customers in Asia are interested in diversification of their supplies and willing to pay a premium for that. LNG Canada is especially attractive to them because of the shorter shipping times, about 10 days from BC to Northeast Asia versus 24 days from the US Gulf Coast. Note that since its $53 billion US acquisition of LNG trading pioneer BG Group in 2015, Shell has been a leading portfolio player in the global LNG trade, see two of us, with others including TotalEnergies and BP. Portfolio players typically hold stakes in several LNG export terminals and/or hold long-term LNG offtake agreements with destination flexibility clauses and optimize sales and deliveries to many customers around the world. There are a couple more points we should make, one being that Shell's ARC Resources deal represents a shift to a more balanced strategy on hydrocarbons. Recall that over the past 10 years, Shell took a number of steps to reduce its involvement in the Alberta oil sands, most notably in 2017 by selling its 60% interest in the Athabasca Oil Sands Project, AOSP, its 100% stake in the Peace River Complex in situ assets, and a number of undeveloped oil sands leases to Canadian Natural Resources Limited for $10.9 billion Canadian dollars, $8.2 billion US dollars. The Montney asset Shell is buying have a far lower emissions profile than the oil sands assets it divested. Also, the Shell/ARC Resources deal provides additional evidence that the Montney and the nearby Duvernay shale play may have finally overtaken the Permian as the leading place to do M&A. The sheer number of blogs we've written about Permian-related deals indicates to us that upstream asset consolidation in that part of the world has pretty much run its course. And while Western Canada has seen more than its share of acquisitions the past year or so, Whitecap Resources' $15 billion Canadian dollars, $10.7 billion US dollars, merger with Veren Incorporated and Ovintiv's $3.8 billion Canadian dollars, $2.7 billion US dollars, purchase of New Vista Energy being two of the more noteworthy, it seems to us a good bit more consolidation may be on the horizon up north. Closer to the Heart was written by Alex Lifeson, Geddy Lee, Neil Peart, and Peter Talbot. It appears as the first song on side two of Rush's fifth studio album, A Farewell to Kings. The song is an anthem for positive social change and creating a better world with a unified effort from everyone. It was the first Rush song to feature a writer outside the band. Peter Talbot was a good friend of Rush drummer Neil Peart and contributed to the song's lyrics. Released as the first single from the album in November 1977, it went to number 76 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart and number 13 on the Canadian singles chart. Personnel on the record were Geddy Lee, vocals, bass, Alex Lifeson, guitars, and Neil Peart, drums, bells, percussion. A Farewell to Kings was recorded in June and July 1977 at Rockfield in Rockfield, Wales, with Rush and Terry Brown producing. Released in August 1977, it went to number 33 on the Billboard 200 Albums Chart and number 11 on the Canada Top Albums Chart. It has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Two singles were released from the LP. Rush is a Canadian rock band formed in Toronto in 1968 by guitarist Alex Lifeson, drummer John Rutsey, and bassist/vocalist Jeff Jones. Geddy Lee replaced Jones in late 1968, and Neil Peart joined the band as its drummer in July 1974. The trio of Lifeson, Lee and Peart became the core group that went on to massive success. They have released 19 studio albums, 11 live albums, 12 compilation albums, 2 EPs, and 38 singles and have sold more than 45 million records worldwide. The band has won 10 Juno Awards, are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Canadian Music Hall of Fame, are officers of the Order of Canada, and have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. They are known for their progressive approach to hard rock music, with eclectic lyrical themes. Canada considers the band a national treasure. Drummer Neil Peart retired from music due to health issues in 2015 and died in Santa Monica, California, in January 2020 at 67. After retiring the band in 2018, Lifeson and Lee announced a 2026-27 reunion of the band with Anika Nills on drums and Loren Gold on keyboards. They are resuming their worldwide tour in June and will be touring through April 2027.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.